When it comes to light and health, there are not a lot of doctors that actually get it. But today's guest is going to substantiate all of that evidence and so much more, so stay tuned. Welcome back, my friends. My name is Sarah. This is the Sarah Kleiner Wellness YouTube channel. And on today's show, we have Dr. Moore Eade, who is a leading expert on circadian clocks and their entrainment and disruption by light. He is a former professor at Harvard Medical School, and he led the team that located the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is the biological clock in the human brain that controls the timing of sleep and wake. And he pioneered research in how circadian clocks regulate the timing of the body functions. He has a book which is now available on Substack, and I'm going to put all of his links, all of his information in the show notes, and some really interesting information about light bulbs. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, especially if you think a lot of this light and circadian stuff is woo-woo and it's not substantiated by any evidence. There's going to be a lot in this episode for you. So I do hope that you enjoy the episode. Before we jump into it, a couple quick thank yous to my sponsors. The first one is going to be VivaRays. You can use my code YOGI to save 15% on their circadian glasses, as well as their eye masks and earplugs if you are looking to protect your circadian health. And one of the things that the doctor and I talk about in this episode is the fact that a lot of blue barkers are not what they say that they are. So VivaRays definitely passes that litmus test when it comes to being effective blue blocking glasses. So check them out and use my code YOGI. The second sponsor is Upgraded Formulas. You can use my code YOGI12 or YOGI if you've already used that one before. They have a fantastic line of minerals, as well as a way to test your minerals through their hair tissue mineral analysis. Use my code again, YOGI or YOGI12 to save and check them out. Let's jump into today's episode. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for coming back to today's episode. And I have a very special doctor here with me today who focuses a lot on circadian health, which is not something any doctor I've really ever met even talks about with their patients. So thank you so much for being here today. If you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself to my audience if they have never heard of you before.
Absolutely. My name is Dr. Martin Moore Eade, and I've spent my career studying the impact of light on our circadian clocks, the clocks that control our sleep and almost every other aspect of body function, what goes wrong when we get the wrong light at the wrong time, and what are the solutions, and what's happening with this whole revolution with LEDs. Suddenly, we've lost the incandescents, and we've lost the halogens. They've been banned. The fluorescents are getting banned. We're just stuck with these LEDs. And they're causing a lot of challenges and a lot of problems. And we need to be much, much smarter about choosing our lights than we've ever been before.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that a lot of people think is kind of the last thing to do on the list, that they don't, you know, a lot of people, like we kind of talked about before I turned the camera on, they want to know what to eat, you know, what's the best food to eat, what's the best nutrition. And I meet people every day that have got a pretty good diet. However, they're blasting their bodies with artificial light at night. They're looking at their phone upon waking, and they've got all these, like you said, LEDs just turned on all over the house before they ever see any sunlight. So what, from your point of view, would be the implications on that? We kind of talked about a light diet a little bit.
You know, the implication is that the lights we in nature that we're used to, the natural daylight, is blue rich, it's healthy, it's full of all the colors of the rainbow spectrum. And each of those individual colors, by the way, has very specific effects on health. And we can talk more about that later. But what we do when we come indoors, and then at nighttime, of course, outdoors, it's dark. Indoors, we have now moved to 90% of our time is spent indoors. It didn't used to be that way 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. 90% of our time during the daytime is under LED lights. And also in the evening, we're using these LED lights. Now, the old lights that Edison invented, you know, 100 years ago, the incandescents, have got some blue in them, but they've got relatively little blue in them. Candles, by the way, fires, anything, wood fires, all the things they used in the old days had very little blue. But we've moved in the last 10 years in just being a world dominated by LEDs because they're very energy efficient. That's the big mm-hmm. push. Mm-hmm. But they achieve that by pumping out a lot of blue light. And it turns out, and these are new discoveries that I've been involved in, and a whole group of others around the world, showing that blue light during the day is very healthy, if it's the right blue light. Mm-hmm. But during the evening hours, it's very, very disruptive. So it suppresses your melatonin. It causes you to be hungry. You actually mm-hmm. snack more, and people get more overweight, and their appetite is increased under this blue light. It causes many medical issues. Now it's linked to breast cancer in women. The majority of cases of breast cancer women today are related to the blue content of light. Breast cancer used to be a very rare disease mm-hmm. in women until about 1970s when blue-rich fluorescent lights came in. They were the first mm-hmm. lights that were, they were more energy efficient, the fluorescents, and then the LEDs make it even worse. And that has now led to the fact that if you look at women who never see light, which women never see light? Well, there are women in parts of the world that have no electricity. They never see light. They have very low rates of breast cancer. Mm. Women who are blind since an early age, they've never seen electric light. They have very low rates of breast cancer. Mm. But women in the industrialized parts of the world have five times more breast cancer than those in the darkest areas of the world electrically. We know that women who work nights, overnight shifts, or women who sleep with the lights on at night have 50% or more greater risk of having breast cancer. And breast cancer is getting more and more common because of this. We are just bombarded with this LED light. And breast cancer now, 13% of American women in their lifetime will get breast cancer. That number's been creeping up year after year. Mm-hmm. And it's a cancer we never knew the cause of. In other words, we know that different cancer causes of different cancer, we have a pretty good idea of it, but breast cancer, we didn't know why, and now it's pretty clear. So that's just one thing. But get on to obesity and diabetes are much higher in people exposed to blue light.
Yeah.
Look at people who have heart disease and hypertension is affected. So what we're doing is we've moved from the old world where you saw blue light during the day and you saw no blue light at night, which kept your circadian clock and your rhythms of your body all in sync and harmonious with each other, to now we just have too little blue light mm-hmm. during the day, actually, because indoors it's yep. not nearly as bright as it is outdoors. And during the evening hours and nighttime hours, it's highly disruptive. And that blue light is everywhere. It's on our screens. Mm-hmm. It's on our cell phones. It's in our lights. It's just everywhere. And we're now recognize, because we recognize that, and we can talk more about it, but we've been able to invent lights that take away that blue at night and show big health effects, including improvements to your glucose and your insulin resistance and your metabolism and everything else as a result of removing that blue at the nighttime hours. So that's the big breakthrough. We have a problem we've identified, problem we got a solution to, but the challenge is the lights in the stores. You go into the hardware store, mm-hmm. anything there is all these blue-rich LEDs that are basically unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we just did a poll of, because one of the concerns I had is people say, well, it's just your opinion, Dr. Mori, are you just one lone person out there? I said, no, this is standard science.
Yeah.
We did a consensus study of 250 of the world's leading scientists in this field and came up with a conclusion that this blue-rich light at night is causing all these diseases, that LED lights should be sold with a warning label on them that says may be harmful if used at night. I mean, in other words, we've got to really change this whole view that light is something easy. It's a flick of a switch. You don't think about it. It's going to be something you actually pay a lot of attention to. And it's a critical part of managing your own personal health, knowing which light you're going to be using at what time. So life's getting a bit more complicated, but the good news is the things we can do about it.
I think once you start to understand the mechanism behind it, because I like I mentioned before we started chatting on the camera, that I started getting interested in circadian health. I was kind of closed off to it and thought it was something silly until I was trying to get pregnant and it was not happening naturally. And so I finally said, you know what, if I have to change my light environment, how hard is that really compared to some of the other things that some of these other doctors want me to do? Why not? You know? And so it's little by little that you start doing it and, you know, putting on the blue blockers before sunrise and putting them on after sunset and then slowly changing out bulbs and, you know, just shifting things about your environment at home and the whole family benefits. But I think my question is, and you know, a lot of my listeners also, they don't necessarily, because I try to explain it, they don't necessarily understand the mechanism behind this. Is it a lack of melatonin, which so we don't get into autophagy and have apoptosis? Those cells have this like eternal lifespan, and that's how we develop cancer. Is it the insulin gets, you know, raises up and that creates inflammation in the body? What's the main culprit behind this artificial light at night or too much blue light, would you say?
Well, let's just talk our way through it. So basically, light is perceived by the eye. And in fact, this blue light is really only perceived by the eyes. It's not an effect on the skin. Now, other colors, deep red, infrared, do penetrate the skin. And that's another whole matter to do with health. But blue light is only perceived by the eyes, and it's perceived by specific photopigment in the chemical in the what so-called retinal ganglion cells. They've got a long name, you know, intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells, but these are special cells that are blue light detectors. And what we've discovered is it's very specific. It's a narrow band of blue that triggers this. And those, when they see blue, these cells, they send a message directly to our circadian clock in the brain. There's a tiny pacemaker in the brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. Mm-hmm. It's been studied for, you know, a long time. We discovered at Harvard, we located where it was for the first time in the human brain. We located how it was synchronized by light and dark cycles. So that's been known for quite some time. The key new finding has been that the what triggers it is this blue and this pathway. Now, when it goes from there, it sends out, the clock sends out messages throughout the body. So melatonin is one of the hormones involved. Mm-hmm. It's produced by the pineal gland, and the SCN triggers the pineal gland to reduce, to bring you, give you melatonin at night, a big surge of melatonin at night. And melatonin is not a sleep hormone. A lot of people call it the sleep hormone. Mm-hmm. It's actually not related to sleep at normal physiological levels. It actually is a darkness hormone that tells all the cells of the body that it's dark. Now, the SCN clock, or the suprachiasmatic nucleus, call it SCN just for convenience, the mouthful, that is only one of millions of clocks in the body. In fact, there are clocks in every tissue of the body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there are clocks in the kidney and the heart and the liver and elsewhere. And so that is a whole orchestra. And ill health and failures of your immune system, failures of being able to suppress cancer, are related as much, not just to melatonin, but related to the desynchrony of that internal orchestra. So think about it like a conductor. The SCN is a conductor. It's following the metronome. The metronome is the light, the blue light coming in and out of the eyes. The conductor's leading the orchestra. And the orchestra is, you know, playing in tune if they're following the conductor. But if they can't see the conductor, or the conductor is giving them confusing signals, the orchestra becomes discordant. They all start, you know, an orchestra, like when they're tuning up, sounds a terrible set of noises. That's because they're not in sync. So that's the analogy. The analogy is all these cells of the body need to be marching in step with each other. And when we get those out of step, it's called something called circadian disruption. Mm-hmm. And circadian disruption is the thing that is linked now to a wide range of diseases. Everything from illnesses in kids to cancers to obesity, diabetes, heart disease, linked to this circadian disruption and death. I mean, you know, here we go, that people who are going to have disrupted circadian rhythms because they exposed to the wrong light die sooner. So that, you know, and a big study in England with 88,000 people studied, showing a 30% increased death rate. They 30% less survived in those who had circadian disruption as compared to others. So, you know, to stay, live long and healthy, you want to have as strong a circadian system as possible. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Number one, first tip, get outside in the daylight every day, especially in the morning hours, because that's the time of day that your biological clock, your circadian clock system, is most firmly synchronized. It's you anchor your clock system. So even if it's raining outside or it's not the most pleasant of weather, you know, just put some gear on and go out. Getting exposed to that light is critical. And you say, well, why do I need that? I've got lights on in the house. Well, the answer is
not the same.
It's 100 times brighter outside, mm-hmm. and it's so much richer light, and it's got the right wavelengths in it. In other words, it's not by accident that Mother Nature gave us this incredible array of intensity of different parts of the spectrum, which are many of them associated with curing and health and various things. So that natural daylight is absolutely critical. Yes. If you do get out outside, and by the way, how long you should be outside, big study showed that looking at a lot of people in COVID working at home and then how much time do they spend outside. Those who spent just a few minutes didn't get a big effect. Those who spent an hour got a strong effect. So usually say get out for an hour. Mm-hmm. No, it might say it's difficult to do, but walk the dog, go for a jog. You know, even sit outside, whatever, mm-hmm. all of that is healthy. So that's the first thing. That will, in turn, make you more resistant to light at night, because mm-hmm. light at night we're not designed to have.
No.
You still got to work on your light at night and make sure that in the evening hours. So when we talk about your light diet, and we're going to talk about the spectral recipes that you need, in other words, which part of the spectrum you need that blue rich light in the mornings. You need to have, as you get into the evening hours, you need to take that blue light away, because that will disrupt you and disrupt your sleep. We need to also think about sleeping in absolute darkness, mm-hmm. because if you sleep with the lights on, an amazing number of people sleep with the lights
or
on.
Or the TV on. That's a huge one.
Or the TV yes. on, or some lighting in there. You know, how many, do you have a sense how many it is? I mean, you know, the study.
Oh, it's tons. See, I don't know. I have a lot of people that I talk to on social media and they say, oh, my husband sleeps with the TV on. And I'm like, you got to go sleep in a different room. I don't know what to tell you. If he won't change, you need to sleep somewhere else, because that's one of the worst things you can do for your health. Right. You can get this perfect diet going on, have the TV on sleeping, and you're just
It's studies show between 30 to 50% of people sleep with some of the lights on in the room.
Wow.
And that's so linked to increased obesity, diabetes, breast mm-hmm. cancer, prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. It is really critical. So absolute darkness when you're sleeping. You know, put your gear, your electronics out of the bedroom.
Yes. Yeah. Do not sort of charge your phone beside the bed, please.
Right. Don't use your phone as your alarm clock. There are better. If you need an alarm clock in the bedroom, make sure it's got red light on the dial, not bright blue or white light.
Mm-hmm. Tech Wellness is a company. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they have a nice circadian friendly battery operated alarm clock that I always tell people to get that one if they want an alarm clock that's not their phone.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to be like your Apple Watch, you know, charge it at night, you know.
But don't wear the Apple Watches either. Those are not good for you. Right. You know, and I don't know how much, because this is your line of work, but for me and a lot of my clients, once they begin the circadian lifestyle, so they wake up at sunrise, they don't look at their phone, they maybe wear the blue blockers on the way outside, they're outside at sunrise every morning, which shifts and changes all year long. It's a little bit different time every day. They don't need an alarm clock. And it happens pretty quickly. Your body, once you begin to entrain yourself with the sunlight in the morning, and then even that UVA light for all that wonderful hormone production, they don't use alarm clock. I have some people that they don't need an alarm clock anymore. And they block the artificial light at night. They go to sleep naturally and easily. Have you seen that as well?
Oh, absolutely. And the basically, we have a lot of intrinsic ability to have a wake up at a time. Mm-hmm. And all that works well when your body is in sync. So this, you know, it's regularity matches. In fact, mm-hmm. the regularity of your sleep matters much more than the length of time you sleep. Mm-hmm. People get focused. I must get my 8 hours. Much better to get 7 hours or even 6.5 on an absolutely regular schedule than, you know, 8 hours one day at one time a day and seven another time a day, all over the map. That's associated with ill health and reduced lifespan and everything else. So, yeah, everything regular and your regularity of meals, regularity of light exposure, regularity of sleep and wake, those are absolutely critical. And, you know, that's part of that core secret of good health. And mm-hmm. It's so critical, so fundamental. And it used to happen automatically before electric lights because we didn't have any other choice. And electric lights have spoiled us, and we think we're now in control of day and night. In reality, we don't have the wisdom to know how mm-hmm. to use them, or at least not naturally without being taught. And that, by the way, is one of the reasons why I've written my book called The Light Doctor, which is appearing on Substack at a chapter is produced every 2 weeks. And that's to explain for everybody the very basics of this, because we all need to be wise. We need to know what is true and not. There's a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of people try to scare you with things like the blue light hazard, which is really a rather confused and overstated. That's why people are trying to sell you glasses with blue blocking on that does absolutely nothing, because it's taking the wrong blue out. And it's only taking out 20% of it.
The clear lenses, right?
Clear lenses. It doesn't do much good. Now, if you mm-hmm. have, you know, if you've got light that, if you're in the evening and you can't control the light sources you're in a hotel or somewhere else, then absolutely blue blocking glasses. But they're going to look fairly orangey yellow.
Yeah, you got to have red or orange work. for them to be effective.
If they're going to be effective. If they're clear, they're just hogwash. I mean, they're not doing the thing.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think. All this news that's come out recently about blue blockers, I got so many messages saying, the blue blockers, people are saying they're no good and they're useless. And I've said, that's the clear ones. Those of us in the circadian community, we've been saying that for a really long time. That's where they're basing their information. But if you are using the red or the yellow, there's a lot of data to show that those are very helpful to allow the body to start making that pineal melatonin, right? Because we make subcellular melatonin during the day to kind of clean up damage in response to sunlight, actually. So that's why getting sunlight is important during the day for melatonin. And like you said, people spend 90% of the day indoors, right?
That's right. I mean, that's the big thing of people, you know, that change where everyone used to live outside and mm-hmm. everyone used to be, active outdoors much of the time. Those days have gone, and that's why we have to be so much more conscious of all of this. And so that's really critical. And but I think the products coming in the market now, and as I say, part of what I talk about the Light Doctor is how to choose healthy lights, because mm-hmm. people will tell you things like, this is color tuning, and and the problem is, it matters exactly the dose of blue light you're getting. Again, mm-hmm. it's a bit, use the analogy of a pharmaceutical or a medicine or a nutrient. It matters how much of it you get and when. So basically, if you don't get the right amount, some of these color tuning lights do very mild changes. They neither are good for day nor they're good for night, because they're not really changing it. We've got to have, we know exactly the dosage of that light. We know the wavelengths of that light that it needs to be. And so that's why it's very important that people get quite smart about what is true circadian lighting as opposed to false circadian lighting. And that's a big education job. And I think even people in the lighting industry, are needing to learn it, because a lot of people are pushing a lot of lights and calling them circadian, and so you have to be pretty careful. So that's one of the reasons the light doctor, I really sort of educated people as to how to look at this and recognize there are different ways of getting circadian lighting, but you need to know what you're doing and what you're buying.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there are a lot of new, I get these messages all the time too. Is this light bulb okay? Is this light bulb okay? And I'm like, well, they're marketing it a certain way, but I haven't tested it to see what it, you know, with the spectrometer to actually see what frequencies are available, what's the Kelvin, you know, because you don't want to be using something that's like 5,700 Kelvin if it's 6 p.m. because that's, you know, middle of the day versus evening is supposed to be around, you know, 1,600 Kelvin. That's the sunset, sunrise, right?
Well, yeah, you can get, I mean, there are three basic ways you can adjust the amount of blue light you see. One is you can turn them up very bright, you know, standard LED lights, very bright during the day, but that's pretty uncomfortable, glary and so forth, and just to get enough blue. And at night, you would have to dim them so down, you'd be walking around, stumbling over, tripping over things, you know, to do it just by dimming and brightening. Another way you can do it is by extremes of Kelvin. You can use a 6,500, which is a harsh bluish Kelvin light during the daytime, and an 1,800 Kelvin or 1,600 Kelvin during the evening hours. But you can get the right dosage that way. But again, you've got some huge color distortions. Do you really want to be in yellow-orange light the whole time? Do you want to be in harsh blue light during the day? Great. Much better now are the new lights that are available that we developed and are now coming in broadly available, which don't change the color temperature. They're in the comfortable 3,000 to 4,000 Kelvin range of color temperatures, but they change the spectral recipe so that I either have their rich in the blue you need during the day, and they've got zero blue during the evening hours. And that's done by being able to balance the spectrum out. You can still get white light, comfortable, good-looking white light, but engineering it so that it's either rich in blue or it's depleted in blue, zero blue. So that's really the key there is, and those lights now means we can use lights that give us normal visual acuity. You can, you know, you don't have to be in the dim light or in the too harsh light. You can be in comfortable levels of light. And just because the spectral recipe has been changed, you can now deliver the right dosage for the day and the right dosage for the evening.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And I wanted to let you know, as a listener, you can always save on any of my courses that really teach you how to bring these circadian principles into your life in this modern world where it seems a bit daunting. You can always save using the code podcast. So all of the links for my courses will be in the show notes. And I have several free resources, free guides. If you're new here, you're new to this information, and you want to know how to best structure your day based on these circadian principles and what type of light bulbs to buy, that sort of thing, those are all going to be in those free guides. If you're enjoying this episode, make sure you hit the like button and leave us a comment. It will help to get the show out to more people. And again, share it with a friend, share it with a family member, anybody who you think could be helped by this information. Thanks again for watching, and I'll talk with you again soon. Yeah, I think that's what one of the things people don't understand about blue light, because kind of going back, it's not evil. It's just that we're only, our body is supposed to get certain amounts of blue light at specific times of the day. So there's a specific amount of blue light at sunrise that tells SCN, hey, let's turn on all these functions in the body. Let's begin making cortisol, turn off melatonin. You know, once UVA shows up, that next window, you get serotonin, which is for melatonin later that night. And just all these, you know, thyroid hormone and all these hormones begin to kind of come online with the, in response to the amount of blue light that's in the sky. And I think the problem that people don't understand is if you're turning on these bright, you know, let's say you've got 6,000 Kelvin, 6,500 Kelvin bulbs that you're turning on in the morning, that's telling your body it's kind of noon in the middle of summer solstice, right? And so, you know, or you're looking at your phone screen before you go outside and see that. And so that's just kind of a circadian mismatch and kind of creating inflammation in the body. Would you agree, or would you add anything to that? Did I get it right?
I think the key thing is blue is, covers a lot of colors.
Yes. Right?
And we've actually got to be quite careful about defining which blue, because it can go all the way from the deep indigo, you know, through the royal blues, through the sky blues, to the cyan blues. There's a wide, wide range of what people call blue. It's not all blue light. It so happens that the light you want is the sky blue light, right? That's that part of the spectrum that is the affected part. So it's getting the right part of the blue spectrum, okay? Mm-hmm. And we talked about the blue blockers. Some of them are blocking, you know, they're blocking the indigo blue, or they're blocking something else out. The second thing is to understand that, it's that blue, as you say so correctly, is blue is not bad. It's the timing of when you see that sky blue. Mm-hmm. You want that sky blue during the day. You do not want it in the evening hours, and certainly not at night. So that's really critical. You mentioned, I don't know how sophisticated your readers are, your viewers are, and maybe they're highly and they know what a spectral photometer is. I'm not certain everyone does. But you mentioned the spectral photometer, but that's the gadget that we use in order to, it's like the size, it's the size of an iPhone, for example, right? It's not a very large device, and we just literally can point it at a light, press a button, and it will show you all the colors of the rainbow and how much of each is in that light. Now, that is something you can go and check immediately, every light source. Now, any responsible manufacturer should be showing you what the spectrum, what the color spectrum is of that light source, because then you can make a decision and you can check that it's right or wrong, right? But unfortunately, sometimes that's hard to uncover. But it's if you have one of these devices, you can measure it. So that's, and then there are, you know, I think we're going to see blue meters come into action where people literally can just press a button and tell you the amount of blue, even simpler device. But that's that's where we've got to go. We've got to know what we're getting. There should be proper labeling on the box. You know, boxes of lights measure, tell me how many lumens they are. If you see on a light box, it says, you know, this light bulb is 600 lumens or whatever it is. The trouble with, and that's a measure of brightness. It's not a measure of blue content. The lumen is actually a measure that only really is measuring the green and the yellow part of the light spectrum. Just that, because that's where our eyes are detecting brightness. And all the evidence that people are concerned with energy efficiency are talking about, they're talking about lumens per watt. So what they're talking about is how much yellow and green light are you getting? And that's what you're buying. And they're trying to make that as cheap as possible, pump out as much of that. The trouble is that does not contain the blue. And so we're working on a new measurement. We're calling them blumens, okay, which actually is how much blue light you're getting per lumen or per thousand lumens. As a way of actually being able to identify it. So in a quick nutshell, and my book will tell you more about this, but a light that's good in for the evening use might have 7 lumens, whereas a light that is good for the day might have 70 lumens, okay? And you can actually start to buy lights according to what lumens. But that's where we're going. We're trying to say, look, let's get away from this lumens thing, which is absolutely anything to do with health. It's only to do with brightness. Let's actually have something that tells us how much health we're getting that's appropriate for the night and appropriate for the day. And again, as we've said, day and night health are different things, depend on different content of blue.
Yes, absolutely. So I think people listening probably are going to ask, they'll probably comment. So what bulbs do I need to buy? Do you have specific bulbs that you recommend now? Or you kind of alluded to possibly developing some currently? What resources could I point them towards?
Yeah, well, certainly you can, there are lights that, for example, made by Sora, and if you go Sora store on the web, which have zero blue content. And those are, you know, designed for evening use. And they are, you know, lights that are, you know, that's one example.
How do you spell that one?
Soraa.
Okay.
Okay. And there's a store where you can we can buy them online.
Okay.
They're coming out with lights that will automatically change between the blue rich and the blue depleted. You know, the, we can don't have to change the light bulbs. We use a different light light switch. The whole thing is interior to the light bulb so that it will give you the right level of blue by time of day. And that should be coming out this fall pretty soon. Okay. And again, I'm going to be announcing it as it comes out in the, you know, in the Light Doctor and so forth and my Substack.
I'll make sure I link all of that in the show notes for everyone.
Yeah, so, we'll give you some linkages to those things. But those will be, that's going to make a big difference. And then, as I say, the choice, you always got the choice of using, you know, these yellow-orange bulbs you can use in the evening. You know, but as I say, what's getting really exciting is that we're getting lights now that are attractive colors and not having to have compromises by using very orange, yellow lights, which you can use today. And it works.
My husband really hates those.
and so if you really, you know, you don't want to, it's a bit depressing. They're a bit depressing and they're a bit sleepy making. And if you're trying to do something useful in the evening and, you know, the kids trying to get their homework done, your teenagers trying to get their homework done, it's not really the best light to induce, you know, good grades, as it were.
Yeah. We turn on red panels, kind of using it as ambient lighting. We set the panels on the floor in the other side of the room and just keep those on. And the house
it's getting much better now.
We're a little crazy.
The big breakthrough coming through this year, and this is part of the technology that my team invented and we licensed out some of the big lighting companies, was, you know, lights that now are attractive and provide the right blue. So that's the big advance that's coming. It's going to, I think, increase the adoption of this much more rapidly.
My husband will be thrilled because he we moved into this house a little over a year ago and he said, "You're not bringing all those weird light bulbs with you." And I was like, "Oh yes, I am." And he gets mad at me that I mean, like right now in the office, I have the window open and I've got Iris software running on the computer and I have no lights on. And so, you know, we have a ton of windows in our home, but I always have one of them open just a little bit and I don't turn the overhead lights on at all because I just feel like it's healthier, you know, knowing what I know about circadian rhythms and health and having a baby and a, you know, another child who's got a lot of health concerns. I'm always trying to be mindful of the light that they're exposed to as well, you know?
Excellent.
Well, maybe we can talk a little bit more about, you know, I've heard you talk in other interviews about cancer and this issue with the blue light. What are your thoughts on, you know, people that get these different cancers, the prostate and the breast cancer, and they're hospitalized. You know, how do you feel about that situation?
Well, first of all, hospitals have really got to get their act together. They're some of the worst places in terms of lighting. The lights are on. I mean, my own career started when I was a surgeon in training as a junior surgical resident, got me most interested in circadian rhythms, working under bright, at that time, fluorescent lights, you know, 24 hours a day. And hospitals are like that. And so they tend to think, you know, they turn the lights on so they can, the nurses can see the patients. People don't, their sleep is disrupted, their health is disrupted. And there's plenty of work now starting to show or showing that, you know, strengthening the circadian rhythms of the patients is one of the most curing things you can do for them. It's not really, you know, new science. Florence Nightingale in 1860 wrote that other than fresh air, the most important thing for someone getting well is exposure to sunlight and daylight and darkness at night. In other words, that healthy rhythm of sunlight and darkness was curative. And what's particularly interesting is light exposure in the mornings. We're now seeing that patients who are patients who've got depression, for example, admitted to a psychiatric hospital because of severe depression. If you admit them to rooms that are facing south and east, in other words, where they're going to get the morning sun coming into the room, as opposed to rooms that are facing, the windows are facing north and west, the ones who get admitted to the south and east facing rooms are discharged twice as quickly. In other words, they get better twice as fast than people who don't get morning light. Mm. Now, who on earth, would, knowing that, and there's several studies of it, there's a very strong amount of data for the, for many years showing that what's happening in people with depression is often an adjustment of their circadian clocks are out of whack, they're delayed, and they need to be shifted by morning light. In fact, it's what we do in so-called SAD or seasonal affective disorders, use morning light. But that is something that in depressed patients, just the mere fact of having a window facing south and east is curative. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder what on earth the hospital is doing when they have the lights on and their managers are concerned with costs and energy efficiency. So they put in, you know, these LED lights. They pump out that light all day and all night. You know, we are creating, do no harm should be what doctors, you know, that's one of the ethics of medicine, right? But unfortunately, we're doing a lot of harm. And that is one of the things where this is not a place to cut your budget. This is a place to actually, no hospital buildings should be having these LED lights pumping out blue-rich light day and night.
Agree.
The nurses are suffering. I mean, they're getting twice
tremendously, right?
The rest of breast cancer and other illnesses. They should, you know, but it's the patients too. Mm-hmm. So who on earth can justify putting these blue rich static lights? By static, I mean, they don't change with time of day. Who can justify that? And the hospital should be leading the charge here.
Yeah.
And that's really absolutely critical. And so that's one of the big, huge changes that needs to happen in the medical industry.
I agree 100%. And it's, you know, I get a lot of people that come to my work because I have a lot of courses. And one of my courses is circadian health for the busy person and just trying to help people who do shift work to mitigate some of that damage. And I get an influx of nurses and people that are just, you know, they work this night shift and they have terrible health issues. A lot of them, you know, have had a cancer diagnosis, or they are 40 pounds or more overweight. They're struggling with diabetes or prediabetes. And it's just, you know, it breaks my heart because I've had, you know, some situations where my daughter has needed to be in the hospital this last year. And they're wonderful people who care about these children and these people, and they're trying so hard, but I see very unhealthy people that are trying to care for our sick people. And so it just, there's a paradigm that needs a shift that needs to happen in healthcare and in many ways, but the hospital is a toxic environment for a sick person, I believe. Yeah. It's scary. And one question I'd like to ask also is, these like 10,000 lux light boxes, everyone starts to pull out during winter time. What are your thoughts on those?
Well, I think the problem there is that what people don't recognize is it matters the spectrum of that light, the part, you know. So in other words, white light is a very inefficient way to do this. You can get the same clock resetting effect with 12, I use the units microwatts per square centimeter is the unit, but 12 units of blue light, pure blue light, as compared to 3,000 of white light. And that tells you how much more potent the blue light is. So you didn't need to be blasting bright white light at 10,000 lux.
Right.
You just need a much less of the blue light to have exactly the same effect. And that's much, much easier to deal with. And there are devices that produce blue light, you know, the right type of blue light, and you can use them to also supplement a room indoors where you don't have enough lighting, to supplement the blue, which is what you need to do. And there are devices you can use to do that, to get the blue levels up to a level which are healthy for daytime light exposure.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people that get cortisol issues, or they get anxiety, and they even have sleep disruption and just all kinds of issues from using these light boxes because they deal with seasonal affective disorder. And when we have we're heading into winter, we're heading into the, you know, shorter days and longer nights period. And I've kind of flipped a little bit with this time of year where I used to dread it and I used to feel horrible every time, but You know, I never used to go out for sunrise. I never used to get morning light. I never used to go outdoors in the winter because it was just kind of gloomy and gray. But I found, and I don't know if you've researched this or seen this, I found that I don't have the seasonal depression as long as I still continue to do my daily morning light practice every day and block the artificial light at night. And I do use a red light therapy panel on my skin, on my body. That really does help give me a bit of a boost. But I expose my body to cold. I go outside and I allow myself to get cold. And then I get the natural light that's available. Yeah. And I don't get that seasonal
And there's
depression.
So much more of it, even a cloudy day,
exactly.
Dark of the last day, you got so much light of the right type.
Yeah. I think outside. Maybe we could talk through that a little bit. Cause that's the biggest thing I get. Yeah. It's raining, it's cloudy. I live in Seattle. I live in this really dreary environment. So what's the point of going outside? What would you say to that?
Yeah. And the short answer is, you know, the light we have indoors is, you know, often indoors we're living in, well, we live in twilight levels of light indoors, right? Mm-hmm. 30, 50, 100, maybe 200 lux indoors. Outside, it's 10,000 lux even on a cloudy day, or 5 to 10,000 lux on a dark overcast day. Mm-hmm. So you're getting so much more light and you're getting the full spectrum light. And get out, you know, rain, snow, wind. It should be like the post office. You know, we'll get there, whatever the weather. I can't remember the phrase right now, but it's, you know, whatever, rain, snow, or sleet, or whatever it is, you're going to get outside and get that light exposure. So I think that's really critical. And people who are in, you know, people who work in offices would have windows to them and have good daylight coming through those windows, sleep much better, get much more sleep than people who are in the cubicles, you know, on these large office buildings. Now, nothing worse than what we've done with people to stick them in cubicle farms.
Underground,
under LED lights,
terrible.
Know, and healthy lighting. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then, you know, people also get this false economy in companies. Well, let's save electricity by dimming down the lights, even worse, right? I mean, so this de-lamping of the workplace is another part of, you know, the nonsense we get into. And it's driven by people whose jobs in industry, you would say, who's making these decisions? Well, it turns out the facilities manager, the person who's responsible for the building manager, is responsible. His task is to run everything as cheaply as possible and, you know, keep the profit margins as high as they can. And to do that, he's going to cut down everything. And if he can cut down the amount of light to reduce the electricity bill, he'll see that as part of his job. Or if he can put in LED lights that are more energy efficient, see that as part of his job. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see, or she doesn't see, her job as promoting the health of the people in the building. That's not their bailiwick, as it were.
Yes.
In reality, the people you've got to speak to are those who are concerned about the performance and health and well-being and safety of their workforces. If you get to the manager, a manager is concerned about a highly productive workforce, you know, and a healthy workforce, and they're not going to have absenteeism and sick leave and everything else that's going to impair the business productivity, they can actually be quite easily persuaded that they do. They don't normally, however, ever choose the light bulbs or choose the light fixtures or choose the you know, or buy them. Mm-hmm. So you've got to arm those people with the knowledge of, A, that lighting makes a big impact on people's health and your employees' health, and B, that you've got to give some clear spec locks, as it were, to the building manager saying, I only want lights that produce less than 2% blue if it's in the evening hours, or more than 20% blue if it's in the daytime hours. Specs that then, a hard spec like that, it's hard to cheat on because you have to actually then deliver lights that will be healthy. So part of this is educating people of why, and the other is giving them the tools to know how, what to ask for. And that, again, is something I'm really focused on the light doctor in my book on Substack, is how, what is that information someone needs to do? What can you, how do you persuade your manager? What's the argument? What's the whiffins? What's in it for me argument you use? To get this change, because we've got a huge culture change here, knowledge change. Lighting is so important and it can't be ignored.
Definitely. And one question I have, because we talk about this a little bit in some of the communities and circles I run in, is that, you know, windows do block a portion of the UV, red, infrared, all of that. So that's why I always try to crack a window. But what are your thoughts on windows and kind of the impact that, not being able to open them or get a clear, actual representation of that light spectrum outdoors? How does that impact people? Or do you think it's not really that impactful?
Well, I think in modern buildings, they put in the glass that has filters, which filters out light, and it filters a lot, so that, for example, you might only have 30% of the daylight that's coming in, going through that glass. Mm-hmm. So the light, light is filtered. And they do that thinking they're going to save energy and stop being heating and things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's a real problem. The second part of it is light, the energy that we need from our environment is not just the visible light. It's also the invisible infrared light as well.
Yes, exactly.
And, guess what? Incandescents used to produce a lot of infrared light as well as visible light.
Yeah.
That infrared light is actually part of the healthy exposure, and that stimulates melatonin function and everything during the day. So that issue is a pretty important one. And not only that, we create visible light, but we make it energy efficient as though that's the only target. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be white so we can see. But, so aesthetics and energy efficiency and low cost are really the only things driving lighting. And that has started to stop. We've got to make health really a critical part of that. It's, as I said in my book, the light you see is as important as the air you breathe, the food you eat, and the water you drink. Mm-hmm. One of the advantages of this, by the way, is that it's very hard to deal with pollution in the environment and PFAS chemicals and all these things are very hard to contaminate, forever chemicals and all the rest are very hard to deal with. Light is so much simpler. Just change the freaking light bulb. I mean, it's not very hard, to actually get, to get the right content of blue during the day and the absence of blue at night. That's what we got to do, change the light bulb. And we change the problem with changing the light bulb. And it's an instantaneous effect that we do. And it doesn't involve a huge industrial cleanup or, environmental pollution monitoring. It's a very straightforward thing.
Absolutely. Well, what's one thing I didn't ask you about today that you think is a really important takeaway or message for anyone listening in this topic of your life's work?
The real message is tell your friends about it. The scientists know. And one of the things we recognize, and it was a quote from someone in the industry, who said, the scientists know all about this. The scientists are in unison about it. They know it. The science is well determined.
Established.
Yeah. But their neighbors don't know. So the it's a much of a problem. The scientists need to talk to their neighbors over the garden fence or whatever, right? The scientists need to communicate this. So basically, this is known science. The real question is, so few people know about it. So talk about it, pass it on, post the link to this podcast and to others. Read my book, join the thousands of people reading my book now on Substack. Free subscriptions for you to have access to the chapters, for example. And get educated about it and fundamentally recognize that you have a right to healthy light. And that should be a slogan. I have a right to healthy light. You have a right to healthy light. Need to demand it. As I say, it's available, but you need to ask for it and demand it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to put all the links for your Substack and everything we spoke about today in the show notes so everyone can find you. But it's been a very lovely conversation, and I really do appreciate your time today.
Good. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Evolving Wellness Podcast. I really, really appreciate you. And if you enjoyed the show, as I've asked before, please head on over to Apple or Spotify, leave us up to that 5-star review, or share it out to a friend or a family member who you think would find this information useful. I really am on a mission to try to get people moving in this direction when it comes to health, because it has made such a profound difference in my life and so many of my clients' lives as well. I've had so many women who are going through perimenopause and menopause implement these really simple tools and stop having hot flashes and see their cycles more regulated, see their hormones easier to manage, see weight loss happening. There's so many amazing things that we can actually impact when we control these really, really simple things. So make sure to follow Dr. Moore Eid. And if you are interested in learning more about this stuff from one of my courses, use the code podcast to save 10%. There's a link down in the show notes. Thank you to VivaRays, my go-to source for protecting my circadian rhythms, as well as Upgraded Formulas for both being sponsors of the show. Get those minerals in your body. Magnesium from Upgraded Formulas is absolutely one of my favorites. It absorbs very, very well. So check that out and have a fantastic rest of your day. And I'll talk to you again next week.